Praise to Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
In today's gospel, we hear the parable of the weeds and the wheat. Later on in the same 13th chapter of St. Matthew's gospel, our Lord gives us the explanation of the parable as well. The parable can be read on at least three different levels. On a global level, one, which is how our Lord explains it. On an ecclesiastical level, regarding people who are in the church. Two, and it can even be read three, at least in part, on a personal level, regarding the soul. So let's take a look at those. First off, on a global level, our Lord says in Matthew 13, verse 38, he says that the field in which the sower sows is the world. The good seed means the sons of the kingdom, while the weeds are the sons of the evil one. That's what our Lord says. So we know from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, so literally from cover to cover in sacred scripture, it's clear that there are two types of people on earth. There are those who strive to do the will of God, and there are those who strive to do their own will or someone else's will. In short, there are good people and there are bad people. What you love and what you do determines who you are. Those who love the good and do good become good, while those who love sin and vice and they commit sin, well, they become evil. And God's revelation, and we say human history and human experience for that matter, actually all confirm that truth. So we are created good. We are created, as they say, we created in God's image and likeness. So we're created good by God, but we're also at the same time, we're loved infinitely by him too, but we still have to choose whether or not to love him. So you can say that we are both created by God and we're self-created at the same time, in the sense that what we love and what we do, how we behave, what choices we make, those also determine what we become. In today's parable, the good are symbolized in the wheat and the evil are symbolized in the weeds or the tares, depending on your translation. The wheat generate more wheat, in the sense that those who are good and do good generate goodness. They are light to the world. That's what Jesus calls them in Matthew 5:14, and their good deeds nourish other souls. The weeds, for their part, are sterile. They actually don't produce anything that we would say is spiritually nourishing. St. Paul actually calls them children of darkness. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:5, this is why at the end of the parable, the wheat is brought into our Lord's barn and the weeds are bundled together and they're burned, as Jesus says in Matthew 13, verse 30. Why? Because the wheat is nourishing, so you bring that into your barn, while the weeds are spiritually barren. They don't feed or nourish anyone. On a church level, so on an ecclesiastical level, the fathers of the church, like St. Cyprian, St. Augustine, St. Gregory, St. Ambrose, St. Jerome, they all say that the weeds also refer to the wicked in the church, not just in the world. So they refer to those who are baptized believers, but who are unfaithful, meaning heretics or schismatics or unrepentant sinners or those who corrupt others in different ways. So the weeds are those who are unfaithful to the church and to her teachings. The wheat are those who are faithful, those who believe what the church teaches and try to put those beliefs into practice. We could say that the wheat are people who act justly, they're persons of integrity, while the weeds are what we call duplicitous. In the Gospels, the Lord calls those who profess one thing, but they live something different, he calls those type of people hypocrites, right? That's what his number one rebuke was against the Pharisees and the scribes. He said, and the Sadducees as well, he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, Luke 12, verse 1. So we've explained in previous reflections what hypocrisy is. The Greek word for hypocrite that's used in the New Testament is hypokrites. I think that's how you pronounce it. It was actually an ancient word. It referred in the ancient culture to actually actors. In an ancient culture, an actor would be the one who would wear the mask in the theater or in the amphitheater, and they would play the role out that was given to them, pretending to be someone that they're not. That's what actors do, even still today. And then when the play was over, they would take the mask off and they would go about their daily life. Jesus says that When we say with our lips that we're Catholic, but our hearts and our lives tell a different story, he says that's hypocrisy. So we need to be careful about not falling into that trap. Thirdly, on a more personal level, today's parable, or at least parts of it, can refer to the spiritual battle that goes on inside of our own souls. The field, which Jesus speaks of in Matthew 13:24, in this case, we could say it's the soul, it's our soul. The good seed sown in the field is the word of God and the grace of God that we receive through the sacraments, through good works, through preaching, through prayer and meditation, through the work of the Holy Spirit within us. And the weeds are the sin and the disorder and the vices, all the bad stuff that crop up in our souls. Our Lord said, quote, "While men were sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away," he says in Matthew 13:25. So while men were sleeping, in part means that when we let our spiritual guard down, when we become spiritually lax, then through temptation, the devil can get a foothold in our soul, and he can make us fall away from God's grace as well. So those spiritual weeds can grow up within us when we stop striving to be faithful to God, when we stop striving to grow in holiness. If we step back for a second and look at the parable from those first two perspectives, so from a global perspective and also from a church perspective, we see that God allows the wheat, so God allows his children to grow up with and among those who aren't his children, right? Those who are weeds or tares. The servants in the parable, whom our Lord says are the angels, he says that in verse 39, what do? They point out the weeds to the sower, and in their zeal for justice, they want to go and yank those weeds out of the garden. First thing that they have in mind, let's get those things out of here. How does God respond? No, the Lord tells them, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them, he said. Matthew 13:29. So you see there, what's God's primary concern? His primary concern is for his children. Yes, the Lord is concerned about everyone. Yes, every human being. We read in John 3:16, God so loved the world, right? Meaning that the people of the world, none excluded. But he's especially solicitous regarding those who belong to him. He wants his children to patiently bear with those who aren't his children, or those who are problem children, as it were. There is children, but they're problem children. Bearing with sinners is both to our benefit, and it's also to their benefit as well. Another way of looking at it is that there are two types of people in the world. There are saints and there are saint makers, right? So there are saints and there are saint makers as well. If it weren't for the saint makers, God's children wouldn't have the spiritual exercise that they need to become saints. Those who are God's enemies, or who are at least unfaithful to him in some form or fashion, they always give us many opportunities to do good, opportunities to pray for them, to practice good, to practice virtue. And our doing good then gives those people an opportunity to stop and reflect and maybe even repent of the evil that they've done. Saint Jerome, commenting, said that a fallen brother, for whatever he may be today, tomorrow, perhaps he'll see his error and embrace the truth, right? So in that respect, the weeds can turn into wheat. The saint makers can still become saints, so there's hope for all of us. There's hope for everyone. Remember that when our Lord talked about us to his heavenly Father, remember one of the things he said. He said, "Father, I do not pray that you should take them," meaning us, "out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one," he said in John 17:15. So remember, the only way that we can be salt and light to sinners is essentially by being around them in some form or fashion, by being in the midst of those who don't know the Lord or who aren't faithful to him. Then we get to testify to the truth. And the world, as we know, needs testimonies. They need to see Jesus in us and through us. We certainly do need to be prudent about the company that we keep and also the environments that we frequent. Yes, obviously we have to be careful about that, but that doesn't mean that we have to completely isolate ourselves for fear of being contaminated by the world. Our faith actually needs to be stronger than our fears. Whatever our fears are, our faith has to be stronger. And remember that our Lord tells us in Luke 15, verse 7, he says that there's tremendous rejoicing when just one sinner repents, he says. And God wants to use us as his instruments of conversion. So remember that we are called to be in the world, but not of the world at the same time. So with all that said, we have to be careful about the temptation to try to establish a perfect society or to try to find the perfect church or the perfect church community on this earth. That is a deception. The devil is a master of deception, so we have to be careful about that. The devil knows how to parody and to ape even the church itself, and even the concept of perfection, for that matter. There are present-day parodies of the church and parodies of perfection, which we've spoken of in other reflections, and we'll speak of them again. The church, we have to always remember, will always have weeds and wheat in this life. It'll always have the two. It's certainly disheartening when heresy and schism and other problems in the church, when they exist and are left unpunished or aren't corrected, that's certainly disheartening. St. Jerome and St. Augustine, when they read this, they say that the sleeping men in the parable, they say that actually those are bishops and pastors who neglect their duties and who are careless in shepherding, they say. But that being said, we have to respond to the problems in the church and in the world with a spirit of faith and trust in God. That's so important. Otherwise, if we respond in arrogance or defiance or self-righteousness or with schismatic attitudes or actions, then we easily risk becoming weeds rather than remaining wheat. So we have to be careful. And we will close with one of our typical reflections which follow along these lines. St. Paul opens up the fourth chapter of his letter to the Ephesians. We'll hear it in tomorrow's Mass, the Sunday Mass. He says this to the Ephesians. He says, "I beg you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all lowliness and meekness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace," says the Apostle, Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. So we are called to respond to the difficulties, even or especially the difficulties in the church. We're called to respond to them with humility, with patience, with charity, eager to maintain the spirit of unity as well, not eager to create divisions and factions. How can I tell if I am responding to the problems in my own life or in the church or in the world according to God's heart or not? How can I tell? How do I know if I'm responding to the weeds or the tares just as Jesus wants me to do that? Well, the apostle gives us his famous test in Galatians 5. We've mentioned this many times before, that if we are being guided by the Holy Spirit, then the fruits of the Holy Spirit will be present in us. St. Paul famously says that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Galatians 5, 22, 23. So if those characteristics or qualities or fruits are present in my life, then I can be pretty confident that the Holy Spirit is guiding me, that He is in charge of me. And we quote those verses very often, Galatians 5, 22, 23, about the fruits of the Spirit. But remember, before that, St. Paul says something else. He says that if we are guided by the flesh rather than the Spirit, he says that the difference is obvious. He says this, "Now the works of the flesh are obvious," quote, "immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery." So some of us maybe hear that and say, well, so far so good. I'm okay with that, hopefully, right? But then he goes on to say this. He says, "The works of the flesh also include," quote, "hatreds, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, divisions, a occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. He says, Galatians 5, 19, verses 19, 20, and 21. So if I'm responding to the problems in the church or the problems in society or in my own community or in my own family, for that matter, if I'm responding to those problems with hatred or rivalry or anger or outburst or selfishness or a spirit of dissension or division, I'm not being led by the Holy Spirit. I'm not being led by God. And the problem is not what is going on outside of me. The problem is what's going on inside of me. It's not what's going on outside of me. What I can fix is here. That's what I need to focus on. The last scripture that we'll quote today, we'll share from the apostle. He says, he closes the fourth chapter of Ephesians by telling us this. He says, let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for edifying, as fits the occasion, that it may impart grace to those who hear, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Verses 29 through 32. So in a word, how do we respond to the problems in the world and in the church? By becoming saints, in a word. Problems in the world, in the church, sinners in the world and in the church shouldn't embitter us. They shouldn't foster a self-righteous spirit. They should spur us to become saints. And then the saints, what do? They give birth to other saints as well. Just like the grain of wheat, when you plant it in the ground, what does it do? It gives birth to more wheat. So let's ask Our Lady today for the desire and for the will to become saints after her own heart and after the heart of Jesus, who died so that we, who were once weeds and tares, so that we might become wheat just like him. Praised be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.